Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look there this morning. And I want to just draw your attention to a great truth that I think is so important. At a time like this, a season like we get to celebrate, Matthew chapter 1, and the Bible tells us, we're going to read just a couple of verses here. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now, that verse number 23 is the fulfillment of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 13 and 14, I'm going to read that for you this morning. Isaiah 7:13 says, "And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men. But will ye weary my God also?" Verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Lord, I pray that you would bless us today. We ask you to speak to our hearts. God, you did work through our kids, and we thank you so much for it. They did a wonderful job today. And we pray that you are honored and glorified in the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I was in high school, I played a little bit of basketball in a small Christian school, and we had other Christian schools that would all get together, and we'd play basketball together, and we had fun doing that. We were a little private group, private school league, and we'd get out there and we'd play basketball. And we weren't professionals by any stretch of the imagination. We weren't even good for high school players, but we had fun, and that's what mattered. We had a great time, and I remember our coach. He would get us out there on the court, and there was a certain spot in the game where you were really, really, really far ahead, and you didn't want to lose that lead. Or in most instances, you were really, really, really far behind, and you just didn't want to get totally devastated. The coach would holler out, "The clock is your friend. The clock is your friend." And what he meant by that, we'd begin to holler it back and forth to each other. What he meant was that you should slow down. Quit trying to get rid of the ball so quickly by shooting the shot or making the point. You should slow it down a little bit. Be more mindful of how you pass the ball. Be mindful of how you move the ball around. And then when you've really made sure that you've got a good shot, take the good shot. Don't just hurry and play a fast-paced game. Slow things down. Sometimes I feel like Christmas is like that, don't you? I feel like at the beginning of the season, the gun goes off, and by the time we all done blinking, we're standing January 1, right? And I feel like if we'd all just holler out to each other, "The clock is your friend," and we kind of slow things down and intentionally make our season good. My mom used to have an expression that she would use. She'd say, "This is slower than molasses." Anybody ever use that phrase? I know where I'm at. We're in Kansas, for crying out loud. We say things like, this is so slow. It's slower than molasses. In fact, I did not hear a different expression, which I've kind of adopted as my own now. There's a different expression that I got when I married my wife. She would say these things. She would say, "It's slower than Christmas." Slower than Christmas. Come on. I mean, I understand slower than molasses, right? You take molasses and you hold it out, and it takes a real long time to drip down. And finally, one day I said, "Why do you keep saying slower than Christmas?" And she said, "Well, you know, it feels like it takes forever for Christmas to finally get here." Like, yeah, that's really a good point. It's slower than Christmas because it just feels like it takes so long to get there. And all year long, we're ready for it to start. And then as we reach that point where we're finally there, it's all over. And I tell you, this is kind of the idea. I want you to understand the idea that was coming across in this passage. In this passage, on this particular night, I want you to understand what was taking place. They were hearing the gunshot go off. Everything that was about to happen from Matthew chapter 1, we hear it spelled all the way out in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we find this story of Jesus being born. And I tell you, that whole thing, as we sit down and read it, we can read through it so quickly. But Israel's history had been this long build up to the moment in Matthew chapter 1. There was this huge long build up all the way back when Isaiah first said the words, "A virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, you shall call his name Emmanuel." It seems so simple. A sermon preached by a wild, crazy-eyed prophet. Thousands of years later, finally, Jesus is here. It was slower than Christmas. It just went for so long. Day after day after day, the people of Israel would look forward to the Messiah coming. Day after day after day, they would think about the fact that one day there was coming a Messiah that would help them and take them away and remove the threat of Rome and remove the hand of the oppressor from off of them. And day after day, year after year, decade after decade, it just seemed as if that time would never stop before Messiah came. And finally, Matthew points out for us in Matthew chapter 1, finally there was a moment carved out by God where Jesus fit right in. Jesus was not going to come 1 minute earlier than God's plan allowed. Jesus was not going to come even 1 minute later than God's plan allowed. I tell you that Jesus arrived at that perfect point in history. He was that perfect timing. I think of the image I would use when it comes to this reality of God's timing. I think of that clock. Every second has a place. If it's out of place, you've ruined the whole plan. No, everything has to fit right in its perfect time. And Jesus fit right at the perfect time. We say things like, "Well, I wish Jesus were walking around today." No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't wish Jesus were here right now, because he came right when we needed him to come. We needed him right at the time he came. We didn't want him earlier. We didn't want him later. God's plan allowed that Mary, that particular virgin at that particular time, would become great with child, given to her by the Holy Ghost. God picked the plan. God picked the time. And we wanted it right then. God brought Jesus at that perfect point in time. All of this happened around the plan of God. I want you to think of how John describes this moment. John says it in John chapter 1, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This was not a small thing. This was not a little thing. The Word, God himself, became flesh for you and me. We have him because God, in his perfect time, gave to us his perfect son. This moment when God became flesh, this moment, this particular point in time when Jesus stepped out of eternity and stepped into the form of a little human body and came covered in the life of Mary, that perfect time is what is called mortality. The moment of Christ's mortality. In other words, it is the moment when that which was not encumbered by time brought himself inside the tyranny of time. That which had no bound of time now had a place cut for him and fit for him in time. You recognize that before he was born, Jesus had no time to worry about. He didn't have to worry about timing. It wasn't encumbering his life. He did what he wanted when he wanted to do it. He wasn't worried about a schedule and making sure he was on time. God has no schedule. It is not that God existed in the past and God exists in the future. The Bible uses this phrase, "I am." And God, Jesus used the phrase on himself. He said, "I am. I am that I am." In other words, when he says, "I am," he is talking about the consistency see the continuity of the life of Jesus, you recognize that this one reality comes with the truth of mortality. We all have a clock to worry about. Now, I'm not talking about the watch on your wrist. I'm not talking about the schedule you'll live by tomorrow. I am talking about the tyranny of time that you and I live inside. The tyranny of time is this. Your death is coming. Hate it. Refuse to talk about it. Ignore it all you want. But there is one thing not a single soul in this building can do to stop their coming death. Your life will end. My life will end. Merry Christmas. No, wait. But your life will end and my life will end. Christmas is that moment where Jesus, who did not have to ever face the tyranny of time, chose to step into mortality. The moment Jesus stepped into mortality, he gave himself a date to die. He didn't have to, but God's plan called for it. God's plan called for that which was timeless to surrender itself to the tyranny of time. Christian, can I tell you tonight, today, you have a time coming, just as our Savior did so long ago. You have a time that is coming. Can I give you a truth today? This is the truth about your time. The window of your impact is closing. The window of your sacrifice is closing. The window of your encouragement, your blessing, you being a part of the work of God, that time is closing faster and faster and faster every single day. It may be slower than Christmas in getting here, but my friend, your day is coming. It's coming. Your day to be made right with God, it's shutting down. It's coming to a close. Your day to make right with your family, it's coming quickly to a close. And that's really the tyranny of time, isn't it? Is that you have a small window within you, within which you can work. But do you want to know why Jesus took on the tyranny of time? Jesus took on the tyranny of time and clothed himself in that cloth of time so that he could find his way to the cross where he would die. He gave himself a day to die. But do you know what's amazing? Is he did it so that you and I don't have to live inside the tyranny of time anymore. You see, yes, we are all getting closer to that day we die, but that day is not the end of our story. Can I tell you what the Bible says? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 14 says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you." In other words, that which has put on mortality will put on immortality. That which at one time had a day to die also has a day to rise again. I tell you this morning that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us, yes, you will come. There will come a day where you will die. But if you know Christ as your Savior, there is a day of resurrection. The reason Jesus came, found himself locked in a tyranny of time, was so that in his death and resurrection, he might secure yours. I tell you this morning that when it comes to Christmas, let us not forget that Christmas didn't stop with Jesus in a manger. And instead, the plan was that because he was right here at the right time, he was in the perfect place to set you free from time. But only through belief in Jesus Christ and putting your trust in Jesus Christ do you have access to the resurrection that God promises to those who believe in him. This morning, if you don't know for sure that heaven is your home and that eternity is your reward, I want the privilege to introduce you to Jesus Christ so that you can put your trust in him. You can place your trust in his finished work of the cross and that you might have a relationship with God through Christ. You say, no, preacher, Not today. I'll do it another day. My friend, listen, we don't know when the tyranny of time is going to call on you. We don't know that. We do know it's coming. And that's why scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. My friend, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, do not leave this place today without knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven.